Anybody better now than since you came in? It's awesome. Man, worship was like the best. So enjoyed it. Had a great season. We've been celebrating here. Hey, just reminding you to keep praying for the youth mission team. They left on Friday night, Saturday morning. 52. Anybody have children in there? Bunch of you parents, I know. Isn't it great? Come on, man. It was awesome. So they're launched out there, and it's just keep in prayer. So love those mission teams doing short-term teams. They are going to Guatemala or in Guatemala now. So keep praying for them, all right? Sound good? Other stuff, man, stuff's going on. I just want to encourage you, if you haven't been here on Wednesday nights, I know, we are part of the Life Center here, and we're in the middle of it all. But look, man, Wednesday nights are great, okay? It's not like Sunday. It's different. Is it better? Yes, it's better. Good. I don't know. Whatever. It's just unique. And the presence of God at the end of the meetings has just been amazing when we're having ministry time. The worship's, it's just, everybody comes in more relaxed. I don't know what it is, but it's excellent. So Wednesday nights, I mean, the last four in a row have been crazy. I know we're calling them the Summer Encounter Series, but encourage you. Just drag yourself in here. If you're exhausted, you will get lit up. I promise you. It is really good, all right? So good, good, good. Hey, we've just been in a great season. We were July 1st. Isn't it great? And it's one of the best days, and it's like 98 degrees and like 90% humidity. Anybody else love it besides me? Man, my whole system, all my, everybody, just everything works better. I love it. My family thinks I'm out of my mind, but I'm like, breathe it in, man. It's just good. You're like, he's a lunatic. No, it's all right. It's okay. All kinds of weather, different people, right? But anyhow, just a great season. Last 6 months have been crazy here. And just to take a moment and just look back, I mean, 2 weeks ago, Father's Day weekend, we had our worship summit, second annual worship summit. Anybody a part of that? Wasn't that great? Come on, man. Jason Upton, how much more would you want? He just plays and you're just like, it's like amazing time with Jason, and just so many good events. Well, a few weeks before that, or really in the month of May, we took some time and looked at our lifelines that we send out to the nations. Absolutely amazing giving, the highest giving we've had at a one-time offering for our missionaries all over the world. And we're thankful. Say thank you very much for doing that. Appreciate all the giving. We want to launch more lifelines and support more lifelines in ways that we can and change the world. Amen? Isn't that good? Before that, we had Voice of the Prophets in the house. Wasn't that great? Come on, working together with Global Awakening and just Paul and the whole team. We just enjoyed you guys. It's really excellent. And we love those activities. I know it seems like a lot of stuff going on, but man, hundreds of healings happened. And that's what we want to see happen. We want to see God do the stuff. Amen. Before that, we had an Easter weekend. We had a big sunrise event. I think we had over 500 out in the lawn at 6:30 in the morning. Come on, folks. That's a great time. We love doing that. It's some of our staff favorite time of the year. Prior to that, we had a women's encounter with Stacey Campbell and Julie Meyer. I don't know why I forget her name. Julie Meyer, Stacey Campbell, breaking our alabaster boxes, my favorite. Anyhow, really good. She was here, and it was a great time. Lots of women. It's just wonderful. And in the middle of that, we're having all kinds of youth and children activities. And prior to that event, we had Firestorm. How many people were part of Firestorm? Probably the highlight of my year when the Helsers were here on Saturday night and everybody just got on their faces. If you were a part of that, it just was amazing. The presence of God came so heavy, we just all fell on our knees. It was awesome. So great, great time. And prior to that, we had our First Fruits that we kicked off the year for, and that was the biggest giving we've ever given. So thank you again, O Lord. Really good, good, good. We had just phenomenal, and we're hearing testimony after testimony, and we've got a great testimony this morning from Richie Seltzer. So come on up, Richie, give him a hand. Richie's going to share live. Because we were going to tape them, I said, nah, you're here live. Thanks, man.
How many people were here for the First Fruits offering?
Yeah.
How many people put declarations of what you were believing God for? Yeah. Chelsea and I did. This is our first First Fruits offering at Life Center. We moved here last August from Calgary, Canada. By the way, happy Canada Day for anybody who is Canadian. Today's Canada Day. My kids are Canadian. And we moved from Redding, California to Calgary, Canada, which is very funny, because I told the Lord when I first got saved, I'll go anywhere in the world for you except for Russia. I had nothing against Russia other than it was the frozen tundra. And I said, God, please don't send me to the frozen tundra. And he has a sense of humor, because I ended up living in the frozen tundra in Calgary, Canada, and planting a church there. And so we went through that season of planting a church from nothing, not having a salary for the first part of it. We literally made $12,000 a year while we planted that church, and then it exploded, and we ended up getting a salary. But then, as God does, God leads you in different directions, and sometimes in the natural, it doesn't seem wise. If you were to ask a person who doesn't understand walking with God, they might say, that's not a wise decision. But the Lord led us away from Calgary, My wife had a dream, which is the short answer of it, and we left everything, sold everything that we had, gave up our salary, and we moved to Pennsylvania, and not really knowing where we were going to live, what was going to happen, other than that God had called me to do full-time itinerant ministry, and God has provided for us the whole time since we've been here. But in the middle of that, we got into about $10,000 in debt following the Lord. So one of the things we placed on our card was, God, we're believing that that debt will be eliminated. About a week or so after, whenever Firestorm was, Bishop Garlington and I were chatting in the back room over here, and he was praying for my wife and I, and he said, the Lord says that you have a debt that isn't yours, it's his, and he's going to pay it. And so that evening, we went home, we rested, and then we went for a family walk in the evening, and I felt to go to the mailbox before the walk. And when I opened up the mailbox, there was a check from California in there for $10,000 exactly, which eliminated the debt.
So good. Oh, pray, baby. Yeah, pray for people. That'd be so good. Man.
So I've got lots and lots of testimonies that are like that, of where we just listen and obey the key to the miraculous and walking in the provision of the Lord and the favor of God is that we walk listening and obeying. And I was asked to pray for everyone in this area. Who has debt that you would like to be eliminated?
Come on, Rachel.
And so we're just going to pray over that. The testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy, what he's done in my life, he'll do in your life, and more. For those who've listened and obeyed God and are believing God for the promises to be fulfilled as you've obeyed him, let's just lean into this prayer together. So, Father, we just thank you that you can be trusted, that you gave your own son, that you died, that you became a man, that you dwelt amongst us, that you put on flesh and blood, and that you can identify with all of our weaknesses. Father, we thank you that you are good, and that out of your goodness that we can have faith. And so, Father, right now, I pray for everybody in here, and I release that testimony, and I declare breakthrough, and that all debt be eliminated, and not only that, that the blessings will be pressed down, overflowing, so that we can be more than a blessing in every situation, in Jesus' mighty name, amen.
Amen. Thanks, Richie. So good, isn't it? Yeah. Come on. Do it again, man. But I just want to start out today just saying God has been overwhelming us with his presence lately. How many people have agreed with that? Come on. I mean, there's something happening, and I know we're like, well, what do you mean? I mean, the presence of God keeps getting greater and greater, and I really believe he's leading us to be more aware of his presence in our everyday lives, everyday living. You know what I'm talking about? I know we're aware of his presence when we come and gather and worship, but there's something supernatural happening. He's leading us to a place where we're more aware of his presence than ever before in our lives. Okay? Remember Jesus said in John 16, he said, it's better for you that I go away. Right? Why was it better for them to go away? So then he said, I'll send the Holy Spirit, who will not just be with you as Jesus was, but he'd be in you. Isn't that awesome? So he's not just with us, but he's in us. And later in that chapter, in verse 13, he says, when the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, I love that, comes, he will guide us into all the truth. He will guide us into all the truth. How many people need some guidance? Come on, I need more guidance now than ever before. And I've been at this for a while. I'm like, but I need his guidance, not just guidance. I need his guidance. Everybody say his guidance. I know, you don't like it when people do that. But it really, the Bible says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. If I'm not being led by the Spirit, what am I doing? I'm leading my own life. God said, come on. When I got saved, I'm saying, I'm not leading my life anymore. I'm being led by you. Just like Richie said, he said, I'll let the Holy Spirit lead us to move here. It's unusual. It's different than the world system. I know we're smart people and we try to figure it out. We get very educated and we all want to understand how we do things, but God's like, let me lead your life, okay? For as many are led by the Spirit of God. It goes on further in John 16 and verse 13, same verse. And he says, he will show us what is to come. That's a pretty big promise, folks. He's going to show us what is to come. The Passion Translation said, he will reveal prophetically to you what is to come. Like, he'll show us what is to come. Do you understand? It's like having a superpower, people. It's like being one of the Incredibles. Like, I know what's going to happen because he told me. Not always, but it sure is good when he does. How many people are with me? I think he has a lot more, and we're just not listening. So what do we need to do? Is shut up and listen, right? Like some of your grandparents told you that, right, child? Really? But we need to take the time, come on, to listen to him. Let him guide us. Why? Because there can be blessing. We can avoid pitfalls. He can bless businesses and connections. And it's just a million things that he does when he leads our lives. Are you with me? Come on, there's a guy, he came here years ago, visited our church on a regular basis, spoke, and he talked about how the Lord had led him to buy a house in a certain area within a city that he'd grown up in. It wasn't the most desirable house. He was having children at the time, and he was looking at a bigger house, and he had about narrowed down to three or four houses, and the Lord led him specifically to this one house. To him, it was mediocre. It was not the big deal. But he really felt like strongly buy this house. Got in the house, spent a very small amount of repairing, doing some remodeling, painting like anybody would do. Within about 2.5-3 years, they rezoned the whole area from residential to commercial. The prices of the real estate doubled. Less than 4 years, I think it was a little over 4 years, he sold the house, doubled his money. Is that pretty amazing? How many people want to be led by the Spirit of God in that? Hello. Get a bunch of hallelujahs on that one. Come on. There's a young lady that's a part of our congregation now, and we were working on getting this video documented, but she finished high school and really wanted to go to college. Everybody in her family is normal, just go to college is a normal thing, but she felt this tug in her heart, the Holy Spirit leading her to go on a mission trip, go on a mission, be a missionary for a few years. So she felt like really strong, you know, wrestled it out with her parents and said, oh, I just really feel like the Lord is leading me to do this. Went to mission field for almost 5 years. At the completion of those 5 years, was approached by a number of people, a group of believers, and said, we want to sponsor you for your entire college education, including your books. Like, hello, thank you, God. Is that good? Come on. So help us to listen, right? Come on, listen to them. There's this crazy part in the Bible, the book. This book called the Bible, it's this crazy book at the end of the Bible called Revelation. How many people have heard of Revelation, right? Just picking a few verses out in the chapters 2 and 3, 7 times, God says the same exact thing. And he's talking to the church. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying. And he's going over and over. He says this, let him hear what the Spirit is saying. This takes some practice, I think. Why, wouldn't you agree? Like, if he's going to say it 7 times, there's a reason he keeps saying it, right? Like your parents told you over and over some things to do. And some of us got to be 30 years old, and then we went, hey, that was smart, right? Proverbs 8 says, tells us to listen to him. Verse 34, watching daily at his gates. That means we take the time to listen to him. Okay? I believe with all my heart, I've heard these words over and over, specifically in the last 3 to 6 months. Linger and listen, watch and wait. Linger and listen, watch and wait. Where's that? It's all over the place, people. It's a kingdom thing, but I keep hearing it in my spirit. And I mean, we need grace to get this, guys. A few weeks ago, Johnny shared on Wednesday night, got kind of stuck in this place about God in us. And I just went, we got to say it over and over again. But understanding the Spirit that raised Christ from the dead lives in you and lives in me. Do you get that? Oh, yeah, that's really old news. No, this is the news. Like, the only news we want to stay at for a long time. Do you know that? He's come to make his home in our hearts. Your heart is his home. Isn't that cool? It's like, hey, I got to wake up and pay attention then, right? Come on. In addition to that, he says, once I'm here, I'm never going to leave you. Hebrews chapter 13 says, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. As I was preparing for this, I felt this was one of the most powerful things that people could hear this morning. Some people feel like, I haven't been, you have no idea where I've been, Brian, where I've lived, what I've thought, what I've said, the things I've participated, things I've given my heart to, doesn't matter. He won't leave you. I don't care what your theology is. I'm telling you, that's the word of God. Maybe you've turned away from him, and he's right there, folks, I'm telling you. Just one mention of his name, Jesus, forgive me, he's right there. You will have an encounter. I'm telling you, it's the most powerful thing you can do. Turn towards him because his goodness and kindness is right there for you. Are you with me? Come on. So we're in a season where his presence is overwhelming us all the time. In our corporate gatherings, something has gone up. And it's not just here. It's all over the earth. Do you know that? Did you guys see the Fox News ticker? It just came on, I think on Wednesday or Thursday. It was on the front page of Fox News if you go online. And they did a whole story on Bethel Music during their Heaven Come conferences. It was pretty extravagant. They interviewed, I forget her name, Lindsay, Conan, anyway, different worship leaders. And yeah, there's a picture. It was awesome. Go online and look at it. And they got stuck on, the interviewers and the media got stuck on the Third Great Awakening because they said, we feel like we're upon this Third Great Awakening, it's upon America, which speaks to religious leaders and all kinds of people and denomination, whatever. Anyhow, but the part that they said in the article was so good, they said, the presence of God has just gone up. And I thought, this is what's happening. And they said, every time in our meetings, we're just worshiping and people are being healed. We're worshiping and people are just coming to the altar and saying, I need Jesus. It's awesome, isn't it? People are turning back to God like never before. Now listen to me, this is just one group, Bethel. There's Elevation, and there's Hillsong, and there's Life Center, and there's myriads of churches doing what we're doing, entertaining and hosting and having big events. Global Awakening, going around the world, Global Celebration, going around the world, just inviting the presence of God and worshiping to the presence of God is changing the atmosphere. Isn't this good news? Come on. This is awesome. Hillsong is starting in Sydney. They're doing London. Then they're doing New York the first week of August. We went a few years ago. It's awesome. They fill the Barclay Center, 12,000 people, and just worship. Just, that's a good place in Brooklyn to release the presence of God, right? Just like this, the cloud over the city. Isn't it great? Come on, guys. This is, it's not like before. It's different. Well, there seems things. I'm telling you, it's happening more and more and more. It's God's increasing his glory and his presence across this nation. It's and all over the world, all right? But I believe he's leading us to be more aware of his presence in all that we are and all that we do in our everyday living. It doesn't meet us where we're at every day. We're kidding ourselves, folks. Do you understand that? I'm talking about the reality of God's presence in our everyday lives. But this just doesn't happen to be more aware of his presence. I believe it takes some discipline, okay? Well, don't you just get it? No, you don't just get it. I mean, I did not grow up in church, so I trained my flesh to desire fleshly things, ungodly things. Anybody else with me? Come on, man. I had to get changed. I got changed. I know I broke and had an encounter with God, but I had to train my flesh. So my flesh and my life would be a place where it would, you know, enjoy the presence of God and host the presence of God, if I could say that. Is it about works? No, his grace is there. But there's a part I want to be responsible for who I am, what I'm thinking, what I'm saying, what I'm doing every day. Are you there? Come on, folks. This is so awesome. All right. It takes discipline. There's a guy named Joshua in the Bible. Anybody heard of Joshua? It talks about Joshua in the book of Exodus. And he said he would go into this place called the Tent of Meeting. Sure sounds spiritual, doesn't it? It was the place they met with God. And everybody else would go out and he would just stay there. And he would watch and he'd wait and he'd linger and listen. Isn't that good? Right there, man. He was the first to see the glow on Moses' face, man, because he was there. He hung out. He was the first to hear what the Spirit of God was saying behind the veil. Isn't that awesome? Like, come on, I'm in the first. I want to be the first one there. I was fifth out of six kids. My family, they did it all before me. I was like, come on, man. Not everything, but most. The competitor in me. But isn't that awesome? But just like Joshua was changed in his presence, so are we continuously changed in his presence. Do you know that? I'm telling you, man, I believe the kids growing up in apostolic centers like this are going to change the earth. Why? Because they know the presence of God. Listen to me. I know this. It doesn't take a prophet to say this. But kids raised in a house like this are going to be the world changers. They're going to rule the seven mountains. Because the world's going to be like, you're amazing. They're going to be attracted to the light in them. And they will know the difference. They will know when the presence of God is upon them. They'll know if someone's lying to them. They'll just, the Holy Spirit will say, nope, this one's a schemer. Don't listen to them. They'll know things by the Spirit. Why? Because it says in the Bible they've had their senses trained to discern between good and evil. They'll know it, guys. I'm watching kids in this house, 25, 30 years old, and they're making a difference in our culture right now. It's awesome. Being raised up to leadership positions has never happened before. Isn't it great? That's just a little side note. Sorry, I had to go off on that. But it's so good, right? And it's not just here. All these apostolic centers being raised up across the nation. Children are growing up in this atmosphere. Ah, young Samuel's like, I know the voice of the Lord. Come on. Isn't that good? Ah, it's, we need it. And they'll have the boldness to say, no, I'll just speak the truth and love to people around me. Okay? Come on, he's in us and he wants to move through us in magnificent ways. I'm telling you, some of us are like, we've been saved too long. We need to get saved again. If I can be weird about that, say that. But he wants to flow through us and stir us up. Give us a fresh burn in our hearts like, God, come on. I need to keep praying for my neighbors. Keep loving my coworkers, all right? Hey there, come on. He wants to flow through our thoughts and our words and our actions every day. Do you understand that? He wants us to stay on what's true and honorable and just and pure and lovely and of good report, right? Come on, I had to train my mind to think differently. That's what it says in Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. Think on these things. Oh, folks, we need to like, I repent daily for the things I think on. Like, nope, that was not God. In your car. Ah! Oh, wait a minute. True, honorable, just, loving, kind. Come on, folks. Come on. We're the culture shapers and changers and shifters. We can do this. Are you with me? Come on. Sounds a lot like love, 1 Corinthians 13. But he calls us to set our mind. He said, set your mind, fix your mind on the things above in Colossians 3. That takes some effort. It isn't like, oh, just passively, just receive every thought you get. Shut up. Are you with me? Come on, wake up. You there? Come on, what are you thinking about? Words, our words, what are we saying? Ephesians chapter 4, just read a couple of scriptures here. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29, or the gadgets, or just look on the screen, it's easy, okay? It says verse 29 of Ephesians chapter 4, let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth. You can just stop right there. Just live in that one for the next 6 months, the rest of 2018. But only such a word is as good for edification according to the need of moment. So what will happen? So that it will give grace to those who hear. Ah, man, I'm telling you, I get saved. I had to like live in this word. Live in this thing, like, ooh, but I'm just speaking the truth, dude. Well, is it gracious? Is it honorable? Ooh, ooh, but it's the word. What is it? Full of love. I wrecked people with the word. I'd like to unslice them and dice them with the word of God. I was like, hey, man, really, really, really. I'm not feeling the vibe of your love right now, bub. Anybody else like that? Repenting daily. God, help us, all right? Come on, he wants to flow through us in our everyday actions. Come on, folks, we're in a world that's in desperate need of this. Do you understand? If you're on social media at all, it's horrible. I'm just saying, man, people are saying stuff about each other, cursing each other. Leaders of countries and leaders of industries and Seven Mountains speaking stuff. It's like, what are we doing here? Come on, I encourage you, I implore you to use social media to build people up, to encourage, to speak words of life. Okay, I'm telling you, folks, don't throw your opinions down. If you're not a politician, don't play politics. You may not know the deal. Ooh, got real quiet. I can feel you like, okay, happy thoughts, smile, all right? How long is he speaking? A few more minutes. I'm serious. Come on, we can't bash each other. We're the sons and daughters of the living God. Say good stuff, man. Use your text to text properly. Just like Jesus, he's right there with you. Think about that before you, whatever you do, okay? Are you there? Matthew 5:16 says, let your light shine in such a way, all of our lives, all of our lights shine in such a way that others would see your good works right there and glorify your Father who's in heaven. Works, that means you're doing something. You're doing something, all right? We get to be the do-be-er, the be-do-gooders, whatever you want to say, all right? We're doing stuff that's good for people. Are you there? You're like, really, Brian? Yes, we get to do it. Just acts of kindness are so simple. Trim your neighbor's lawn. Why would I do that? Because she's a widow and she's 80 years old. Maybe you can help her. Oh, she never notices me at all. So what? Do it anyhow. Do it unto the glory of God. Are you with me? Maybe she'll look out one day and have an encounter with Jesus. You don't know. Do you understand what I'm talking about? We have the opportunities over and over again. Just don't let them pass by. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. We are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus. For what? Good works. There it is again. It's all through the Bible. We get to do stuff. Do you understand? Now look, Brian, I'm talking about everyday living, raising your kids, shopping, cutting the grass, doing what you got to do, going to work, all right? We can show the world Jesus. Do you understand that? There's people in the world doing it and they don't even know Jesus. Did you guys see the story about the football team that lifted the car off the lady about a month ago? Watch this video. It's a good little quick video. Sure, check it out.
A youth football team banded together after seeing a crash. They lifted up a car, saved the lives of the people inside. ABC's Eva Pilgrim with the story.
This morning, the Boise Black Knights youth football team are being hailed as heroes. On their way home from a tournament in California, the Idaho teens spotted this serious crash scene on the side of an Oregon highway, pulling over and springing into action.
Came around a corner and they seen an accident with a car rolled over. And the two vans pulled over.
The driver is able to walk, but seriously injured. The young men tending to him when they discover his wife is still trapped.
You can try to show out.
After attempting to free her for several minutes, the team bands together.
Keep going. There you go.
Lifting the car enough to pull the woman to safety. Their coach says he wasn't surprised at all to watch his team spring into action when the moment called.
I've watched these boys grow, and they came a long way, man. They're just amazing young men.
Reagan McGill, one of the young players, says it's all thanks to the lessons they've been taught about heroism on and off the field.
He taught us to play selfless football, not selfish, and just help others out before.
There we go. Didn't I get that one right there? Trying to play selfless, not selfish football. Come on, coach. Good job. Getting some kind of kingdom principle in his heart. I know. Isn't it great when you see these? I just love, because I look for good news all the time. When I get on social, when I get on the online, I'm like, why not? Watch surf every day for good news. Any good news today? It's great to meditate upon the good things that are happening in the universe, right? Hello, the earth, your country, your city, your town, all right? Did you guys see the one about the guy scaling the apartment complex? Check out this video to save a dangling baby. Crazy.
He's being called a real-life Spider-Man after he rescued a child dangling from a balcony. Look at this. You can see Mamudu Gassama, that's his name, scaling four floors, pulling himself up from balcony to balcony until he makes it to the four-year-old and pulls him to safety from midair. I'll just give you a moment to get to that point. Now, CNN affiliate BFM TV reports that French President Emmanuel Macron has invited him to the Élysée Palace on Monday to thank him personally.
Good. Awesome. Thanks, guys. Yeah, we can just cut it shorter today. That's so great, isn't it? See, people, I mean, the yellow baby's dangling is hooked on there. Anyhow, it's crazy. Just look at the good stories, isn't it? Come on. In him, we live and move and have our being, it says in Acts. Isn't that great? In him, we live and move and have our being. It affects, it should, his indwelling, his presence, our awareness of his presence should affect what we're thinking, what we're speaking, what we're doing. Are you there? Come on. Everyday living, folks. So good. I love what the Bible says in Psalm 139. It says, where, oh, can I go from your presence, O Lord? Where can I go from your presence? We can't escape his presence. Isn't that great? Remember, we're singing this. What's the song we sing? This is how we fight our battles. When I think I'm surrounded by you. We got to get that. It's like singing all across the body of Christ. We need to keep singing and singing through it like, oh, yeah. It's not what it looks like. If you're there, it's different. It's a different way of seeing things from the kingdom perspective. But Psalm 139, man, where can I go from your presence? I think it's odd that if you look at the beginning of the Bible, which we're not going to do right now because it's 12:23. But it says in Genesis 3, it says Adam and Eve hid themselves in the presence of the Lord. Like, isn't that odd? Like, you're going to hide from the presence. They're living in glory one moment, and the next moment, like, we better hide. Like, what happened? I know they sinned and they did the wrong thing, you know. But the part about hiding from the presence of God, really? Like, really? And this messes me up because stuff that you can't understand and you can't figure out, and you want to look at it all theologically and all that. But I really believe the enemy tries to dull us in our everyday, if it can use that word, dull our hearts. Do you know what I mean? Dull us down so we live mediocre lives, so we live compromising lives, so we lose our confidence to come into his presence. Are you tracking with me? So we get into a place and we don't say the right thing or think the right thing or do the right thing, and we're stuck in shame and in this place of condemnation. So when we go to this opportunity to be in his presence, oh no, man, I'm not worthy. I can't do that. And God's like, dude, I'm right here. I'm for you. You blew it. That's okay. Do you understand that? Are you with me? But we can live in this weird place where we get dulled over and over to live mediocre lives, which the whole world wants everybody to stay the same. Don't really do anything different here. Shut up. Shut up. Are you with me? Come on. All right? We're living less than we are created to be. I don't want to live less than I was created to be. I want to be all that he called me to be, right? I know. The army got it right somewhere now, right? Come on. You understand what I'm saying now? Come on, I call them heart dollars. They dull our heart. You guys should, you know what I'm saying? Things that dull our hearts every day. Things like ignorance, where I don't know when I just spout off about something. Like, be quiet, all right? The Bible says we're destroyed for the lack of knowledge. But it's so amazing what Jesus says so clear, just come learn of me. I just want to come learn of Jesus, don't you? We need to make our lifetime journey. I want to learn of you. He says, just come learn of me. Okay, I don't know. I don't know stuff. But the older you get, you think you know. But now I think I know less than ever before. Any other people with me? The further I'm following the Lord, I'm like, I don't know anything. Shut up. Do I know his principles? Yeah, but I want to know him. Come on, the Bible says I don't want to just know about God. I want to honor him as God. It's a different way of thinking. I'm talking about our values and our heart. Are you there? Come on, other things that dull our heart. Busyness. Anybody else get stuck in busyness? Come on. I had told the first service, it's not just time management anymore, it's task management. How can I get all this done? And if you're a high achiever, you're like, I got to check my list off today. I have lists for my list. Anybody else like that? It's like, shut up, throw them away. Give yourself a break. I got a list on my phone and my pad and written down lists with real ink. Like, shut up, all right? But you look at Jesus' life and he says, he was given what, 3-point-something years? And he said, I've accomplished everything the Father's given me to do. Now look, folks, if Jesus can get it all done in 3+ years, I think we're okay. What about you? All right? Come on. Are you there? Oh, no, I've got a whole bunch of stuff to do. Shut up. Because there's a lot of good things to do, aren't there? There's a lot of great things to do, but then there's the things the Father has me to do. Those are the things I want to do. Are you with me? I know I got to clean the house and take out the trash and cut the grass and do all the stuff you got to do and go to work on time, all right? I know that. I'm talking about our hearts where we're at. Are you with me? Come on. Don't let busyness suck the life out of you or dull your heart anymore, okay? How about pettiness? Pettiness is such a, it's like, yee. Come on up, Dave. You guys can come up. Pettiness is, it's like one of those dull, it just dulls your heart, doesn't it? What am I talking about? I'm talking about getting stuck in the meaningless, unimportant things that don't mean anything, that distract us, okay? I told the first service, man, I grew up in the car business, so our cars were always perfectly clean. It's just whatever. It's just a part of the business. You keep your cars clean. So we started having kids, and then we had more kids, and then we had more kids. and I should let Marcy tell the story, but I remember one time getting, I'm like, don't touch the windows. The car's just been clean. And she's like, really? Really? Two girls, two boys. They all playing tons of sports. I'm like, okay, maybe I'm stuck in pettiness. Like, I'm an idiot. Like, shut up. Do you understand what I'm saying? You can get stuck in the minor things. It was sucking the joy out of my life. Every time my kids got in the car, I'm like OCD, like, ah! It's like, hey, get in the car. Have a popsicle. No, maybe just get in the car. I draw the line there. Are you with me? Pettiness is so stupid. I don't care. Well, it's too cold in here. It's too hot. I don't know. The lights are too bright. I don't know, man. The bass was too loud. Shut up. Just worship. Be in his presence. You understand that? I don't care if the carpet's striped. I just want his presence. Because his presence, everything changes in his presence. My heart is changed in his presence. Do you ever get with somebody that's petty? Get some of those petty little things? You ever work with someone that's stuck in pettiness? You're like, really? You should take a vacation. A long one. Sorry. Okay. Sorry, I won't get stuck anymore. Other heart dollars. Laziness. Laziness is one of the things that dulls our hearts. Now, I know people are high achievers in this congregation, but you can get stuck in laziness, honestly. And Proverbs says, laziness casts you into a deep sleep. And you ever try to wake some of your children out of a deep sleep? It's a challenge, folks. Like, hey, we're going to have a happy day sometime today. But it's when you can't be bothered to bother because you're stuck in laziness. Don't let laziness overcome you. I know everybody needs breaks. I know the American culture, we go, go, go. And I believe the Europeans, they holiday for a month. We're going to get there someday. That'd be awesome, wouldn't it? But anyhow, but laziness always wants to be entertained instead of educated. Laziness always. You know the favorite day of a lazy man's life? Tomorrow, right? Tomorrow I'm going to start working out. Tomorrow I'm going to have a devotion. Tomorrow I'll go to church. Tomorrow, right? You there? Come on. It's their favorite day of the week. So don't let these heart dollars, I'm telling you, don't let them keep you from being aware of his presence. Are you with me? Come on. A few more minutes. You guys okay? Give me 2 more minutes to cover more things. Real simple stuff. No revelation here at all. But the biggies that keep us and cause us to be more aware of his presence. There's a whole bunch. There's about a zillion of them in the Bible, right? But a few of them I just want to share. And we know them, and I know I'm preaching to the choir here. Worship is one of the biggest things you can do to keep your heart in a place where you're aware of his presence. Okay? And I'm telling you, look, folks, you look, well, you're a part of the church. You're raised in church. I didn't grow up in church, okay? And I was a music fanatic. I was 5th out of 6 kids, so I was listening to music from probably the mid-60s all the way to, you know, got into the early 80s and experienced the whole, you know, anyhow, crazy different styles of music. You know, I wanted to be Steven Tyler when I was 12 years old. We're listening, like, with headphones. When headphones came out, you know what I'm talking about? Like, woo. We were like singing Dream On until we fell asleep at night, 10, 11, 12 years old. Seriously, folks, okay? I listened to all the hippie stuff, the Charles Nann tune, and that was kind of weird. But anyhow, you know, and I'm telling you, like, because you think, well, worship, I'm telling you, something changed when I got saved. I felt like God's like, get rid of everything that you've been listening to and just worship. Now, I had crates of albums that were in plastic that only I handled. And some of you guys know what I'm talking about. No one touches my vinyl, baby. That's it, you know? Seriously, like, lots of albums that I mentioned to Chris Dupre. I had about 10 different Beatle albums that were all perfect. He's like, oh, I was like, you know, Chris, they were an idol. I just had to get rid of them. And I remember going to this record shop in State College and selling them for about 10 cents an album. And whatever's left, I said, hey, where's your dumpster? And the guy thought I lost my mind. And I had the jazz, I had the rock, I had everything. And I'm like, yeah, but I'm totally serious. And you know what I did? I got a little boom box. This is like 1982. One of those big ones, you know? They put a thing called a cassette in it. And I got Maranatha Worship on a cassette. And I would drive from State College to Milesburg, you know? And I'd drive about a half hour out in the middle of nowhere and just worship to some pretty simple worship music, all right? But it changed me. And I was aware of his presence. I got the bulletins from the church, and on the back of the bulletins, it had all the songs on them. And I'd just go home and sit on my bed and sing till it felt like it was in church. I didn't know anything about it. And I would feel his presence coming. I'm like, ah. Oh. And I come out, my roommates are like, dude, you've been in there for 2 hours singing. Like, we bring the sacrifice of praise. Like, seriously. I'm not, you think I'm kidding? I am not kidding. Like, there was no backing tracks. I was like all a cappella. So I felt the weight of his glory on my bed and went, I'm good, man. I'm just going to do this. It's the best. Why am I saying that? Because I'm telling you, if you listen to Drake all day, you won't experience the presence of God. Shut up, all right? That's a word for lots of people in the room. And I know you just dropped a big one here the other night, all right? So, okay? He's not going to save your soul. Worship is the deal, okay? It's just one of those amazing things that makes us aware of his presence. Do it all the time, man. My wife's a worship fanatic. She gets the newest, as soon as the newest CD came out. We got to have it. Let's worship, worship, worship. It's the best, folks. Okay? Why? Because he inhabits the praises of his people. That's what he does. He promises it. There's no shortcuts to it. You just play it. Oh, we're good. You can change whole atmosphere in rooms and whole atmosphere in houses and communities and wherever. All right? So good. Another one that causes us to be more aware of his presence. Stay in love. Walk in love. Now, this takes some discipline and practice, all right? I repent daily, many, many times daily for not walking in love, okay? Especially if you're on a highway in America. You're like, oh, I'm going to walk in love. I'm going to drive in love. I'm going to shop in love. I'm going to take care of other people in love. You with me? Come on. Why? Because if I stay in love, I stay in him. And I keep the attitude of my heart right. Even if people are mean and nasty to you, that's the part I still have not. I'm retraining my brain when people are mean and nasty. I'm like, oh, don't be mean and nasty back. Be kind, because a gentle answer turns away wrath. Yeah, I'm working on that one. Okay, anybody else working on that one? I grew up when road rage was a practice, a daily practice, taught and expected. It was the car business. I'm not joking. If you heard some stories, Mike Blella, you know what I'm talking about. Same generation, right? So the other one is to be more aware of his presence. Go to church. I know I'm screaming to the choir now, but you go to church. Why? Because wherever a few people are gathered, that's where he's at. There's something corporate. You can't get it on your own like when we have a corporate gathering. There's government of God. There's set people in place. There's God's anointing. It's just something supernatural. It's amazing. Go to church all the time, okay? Some of you, that's a word for you. I remember I've talked to two young guys this week. I'm like, hey, man, you should come to church. And one guy is so full of shame. He's like, I can never go, man. I'm like, dude, just come to church just the way you are. You don't have to do anything. The other guy's fussing. I don't know. My kids can't settle down. I'm like, dude, just put him in there and come and get in his presence. One guy had never been in church. The other guy was in church years ago. Got away from God. I'm like, just come, man. Why? Because your life has changed. We're changed in his presence, aren't we? Okay. A few more. Read the Bible. Read the Bible. Read the book. Read the Bible all the time. Why? Because we're transformed by the renewing of our mind. That means you're changed when you read the Bible. Okay? It's pretty simple. Why? Because the Bible is not like the New York Times. It's living, active, and sharper than any two-edged sword. Pierces through and cuts between soul and spirit. It's amazing. Do you understand that? Jesus said, John 6:63, my words are spirit and they are life. These things are spirit and life. Just consume them. Just make it a practice every day. I'm going to read the Bible or get the audio Bible and listen to it. When you're driving, it's a good one too. Okay? All right? Lastly, prayer. Pray all the time. I mean every day. It isn't just coming to prayer life meetings are amazing. And I am totally for it. But make prayer your dialogue every day, all day long. When you're cutting the grass, when you're working out, when you're doing the laundry. I know this sounds crazy. When you're at your cubicle work, when you're at school. Talk to him, man. I'm telling you, you dialogue with God and you will hear him speak to you more than you ever know before. It's awesome. I've made a practice. There's certain things I pray every day. I get in my car and I pray certain things. Certain things I pray when I go running or swimming or biking. I pray it all the time. I just have these certain places. Like, oh, this is where I pray for angels, and I pray for angels for all my kids. I'm praying for this, for so-and-so, and I'm praying for this. And I just make prayer part of my everyday. Are you with me? Come on, guys. This makes you aware, because when you're dialoguing, you're including him in your life. It's so good. It's a win-win. You can't mess it up. All right? Come on. Isn't this good? We want to be more aware of his presence than ever before. His presence is increasing in our everyday lives, our thoughts, our words, our actions. Come on, stand and worship. Come on.
One more time, we sing. Come on. Oh, I will build. It is a oh, I will put my trust in you. Oh, come on, can we lift another shout in this place? Come on, church. Yeah, yeah. Come on, lift up a shout of praise in this place. Oh, it's your love. Changes everything. You're changing everything. Come on, lift up a shout of praise. Come on, lift your voice. Lift your voice today.
We worship you this day. God, thank you for your presence. God, your presence is the game changer in our lives every day, Father. God, we pray for your grace right now. Come on, grab a hand to someone next to you, or appropriately lay a hand on a shoulder, someone around you, family or friends, and just relax. Holy Spirit, thank you. God, I pray that you teach, give us grace to linger and listen, Father, to watch and wait. God, in our everyday living, Father, we're driving in our car, we're with our children on the God, just in the simplest places. Father, our workplaces, our schools. God, when we're with friends and vacationing, wherever we're at, Father, we pray all this week long, God, just increase our awareness of your presence, Father. God, I pray that you'd speak through us and live through us. Let your light shine through our thoughts and our words and our actions and our everyday life. God, we pray for your grace, grace, grace. Now, come on, church. I just want you to take 30 to 60 seconds and pray for the person you're connected to. Come on. Come on. Just pray for that person on your left, your right. Just pray for God's grace. Pray they'd be filled up with his presence. Come on. Just pray that God would overfill them, freshly baptize them in his presence this day. Amen. Come on. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. God, seal this thing in our hearts, God. Come on, Father. We want to entertain and be aware of your presence like never before, Father. Let us hear what your Spirit is saying to us even now, even today, even this week, in our homes and everywhere we go, Father. In Jesus' name. The altar will be open. We want to pray for you in any of the areas. Anything that you have a need for, we want to pray for you, specifically for healing. For other things, if you want to pray just that you hear the Spirit of God, we want to pray for you. If you feel like you've been away from the Lord, we want to pray for you this day before you leave this room. That you would reconnect with who he is. Amen? Amen. Well, be blessed and have a great week, church. We love you and bless you. Have a good one.